time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Peggy Hotz, Heather Dobson, and Leon Davis. Peggy Hotz is a representative of Nicholsville, and Heather Dobson and Leon Davis are both residents of Nicholsville, and we're going to be talking about the current situation with the site that is scheduled to move this weekend and actions pending from the city of Seattle. Peggy, Heather, and Leon, thank you very much for all three of you coming and spending time with us this morning.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
So let's start out with you, Peggy. Give us, if you would, tell us, what is Nicholsville? Give us some history there.
Sure. Nicholsville is a self-managed homeless encampment, and it differs from the tent cities that people may be accustomed to in several ways. In one way, we take families with children, and we'll take their pets, too. So we not only take women and men and couples, but we take families. We also have small, simple, sturdy sleeping structures. We have about 12 of those right now. So people can move from a tent into one of those wooden structures at some point when those are available. So the history of Nicholsville is that in response to sweeps that Mayor Nichols was having ordered of homeless encampments, even when they weren't causing trouble in neighborhoods, out of that came a group of homeless people who started meeting to try and organize their own encampment. So that started in the spring of 2008. We did a lot of community outreach and education, and on September 22nd of 2008, we set up on a piece of city-owned land down by the Duwamish. Then after that, we have moved, Nicholsville has moved, I'll say around 20 times in what is now almost 6 years. A year ago, the city council basically told us that we had to move on September 1st from the site where Mike McGinn, Mayor McGinn, had let us stay for 2.5 years, which was actually that same original site. We moved around and then moved back to the Duwamish site, which was quite roomy. We had up to 170 people there. So they gave us a deadline to move last September 1st. So at that point, since we couldn't find a big enough piece of land for all of us to be together, we split into three Nicholsville neighborhoods. So we had one in Skyway, one the Nicholsville Union site, which still exists, and the Nicholsville Jackson site. So the one that was in Skyway moved into the city. They subsequently voted that they wanted to break off from Nicholsville, and they did that. And so now we have the two Nicholsville neighborhoods. During the time, the last couple of years, Nicholsville has been part of a coalition of five member-led organizations, which include the Transit Riders Union, the WHEEL, the Women's Housing Equality Enhancement League, SHARE, Seattle Housing and Resource Effort, and SAFE, which stands for Standing Against Foreclosures and Evictions. So our Occupy, the governing board of the King County, of the Committee on Homelessness in King County, is what we did. So whenever the governing board was meeting, we would have a sleep out, a lot of times in Westlake or Steinbrook Park. We'd have a rally. In the morning, we'd get up and we'd march down to the meeting, and we would have chosen some people to speak to the governing board. So our efforts paid off, and the Committee on Homelessness has now adopted a statement as part of their crisis response to homelessness, which says that encampments such as ours should be supported with economically, both financially and with resources. So we believe it's time now for the city to follow what these leaders have said on the governing board. And the governing board includes people like, business people like Dan Brentler of Car Toys, Blake Nordstrom's. It includes Father Sandberg from Seattle Pacific University. It includes former Mayor Lowry, or excuse me, Governor Lowry. It includes King County Council members, Bellevue City Council, and Sally Clark from Seattle City Council. So people like that have all said, hey, we don't have enough shelter, and it's time to support these encampments, which are extremely economical and safe places. They're certainly a lot safer than people trying to sleep in their car or under bridges or overpasses or in doorways. So, you know, the time is now for the city to go ahead and do what all of these leaders have said they should do.
Isn't Mayor Ed Murray also on that?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, Mayor Murray just became the co-director of the governing board. So there's,
very good. So September 1st, then you're looking at a major move of from two different locations then this weekend?
That's right.
Which is quite an undertaking.
Yes, we've got a couple of moving trucks. We've got a moving truck at each site, and we are moving, by the way. We must move. And the reason why we must move is that when we move into an area, we tell all the neighbors, you know, we'll be leaving at such and so a date. Except like on the Duwamish, when we didn't have a lot of neighbors and we moved there without a permit. But this is a case where we have a permit, and we've said we're going to leave, and we're leaving.
Nicholsville is very serious about keeping its promises to the nearby community, so we want to make sure that we do what we say we're going to do every time.
All right. So you have a plan, a space to move to? And
yes.
So talk about that.
We do. We have a place to move to. It is in the International District. It's 1001 Dearborn isn't the exact address, but it's close enough.
1010 South Dearborn.
Thank you, Peggy. Yes, South Dearborn. So it's a really great piece of land. We're looking at 40 people is the limit for the new area. Our neighborhoods will be back together again, which is another thing we're extremely excited about. We want to be together so we can be safer. The more people that we have together in one place, the safer we are.
And that piece of property is in a part of town where there are a lot of homeless people. In fact, when we looked at the site, there were five or six little homeless setups there. And we talked to some of the people there. And they're welcome to join Nicholsville if they meet, you know, our requirements.
Absolutely.
But we know people who have died. I mean, I know a woman, Tanya, who's died on that spot, was murdered right there. So we're hoping to create a, you know, a safe place for people if they want to come in and stay with us.
All right. And so what has, just this week, there a problem arose with the city of Seattle. Is that correct? Can you talk about that?
Sure. It is a sloping piece of land, but there's enough flat places for us to fit everybody in. And everything seemed to be going according to plan. We were following the ordinance. We have a church sponsor, which is the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd, which was also the sponsor of the union site. So they are excited to keep up their ties with Nicholsville. So everything was going along just fine. And then I think it was Wednesday or Thursday night, we got a call from the city. One of the city planners saying, we can't let you stay there because it's too steep and there might be a landslide.
Well, there have been people there for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. And there are people there now. And if the city's really concerned about our safety, then they will help us find safer piece of land. So anyway, after that pronouncement that we couldn't move there because of the slope, our friends at Low Income Housing Institute hired a couple of private geophysicists, and they looked at the site. Now, they understood more what we were planning to do. We're not building an apartment building there. We're putting some tents and our small, simple, sturdy sleeping structures, which are wooden, and are, how big are they, Leon?
They're 8x10.
8x10, you know, don't weigh a lot. They don't have plumbing or anything like that. And when we say gardening, you know, the city, through a gardening grant, we got some big plastic gardening containers. That's what we're going to do as far as a garden. We're not going to be, you know, saturating the soil with a major farming effort. So, you know, perhaps the city didn't quite understand, you know, how Nicholsville is arranged.
So was there any effort to ask you guys about that before denying?
Not that
things?
I know of.
No, I received a call from Scott late Wednesday night. It was after apparently dinner. So as far as I'm aware, from what he said when he first called me, there was no questions asked as to whether what we were exactly going to do or how we were going to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think there was a meeting subsequently to that, though, and the city's geophysicists now do understand what we're trying, what Nicholsville is about.
Perhaps it was just a panic moment.
So do you believe then that given time that the city will then give you the permission you need to use the land?
Well, there isn't a lot of time between now and then. We're right. Hoping that they go ahead and let us use the land or, like I say, provide us with some other land to use. And we'd be willing to go to a church. We have a lot of church friends because we stayed with churches a lot in those 20 moves. We could go to a church site for a month while the city surveys their list of available properties and finds us another spot. So we'd be willing to do that.
But that's obviously a move is a major amount of effort and expense on your part.
And expense.
And
we
emotional
don't have a,
costs.
We don't, money is something we are very short of.
Absolutely.
We owe around $10,000 and we have right now less than $1,000.
So was it your organization that fired off a letter on the 28th to the city of Seattle, basically proposing the different things that we're talking about now?
Exactly.
You pointed out in the letter that Seattle Housing Authority has a project right next door on similar land that appears to be going full steam ahead.
Sure. You want to explain where that is, Leon?
Yes, it's an undeveloped street that's running through the property that we are actually trying to move on. And they have built like a 10-story building there for a retirement home or senior citizens. And it's the same piece of land. It's just the only thing that separates them is an undeveloped road. You know, but it's on the same piece of property, different owners.
So one would imagine a project of that size and scope would weigh a bit more than
definitely
40 people in tents and 12 wooden structures.
Yeah, wouldn't even compare. Way more, yeah.
Okay. And you also, in your letter, stated that the King County Assessor has no record of slide issues on this property.
That's true. And the other little part of that that's a little puzzling is the private owner has been paying taxes, you know, the full assessment of taxes on this property. So probably with some intention of building on it at some point. So if it's useless property, he might be wanting a tax refund.
It's very likely.
Just now he's finding that out. His land is no good.
Yeah. So is your gut feeling that the city is just putting up resistance and this is the excuse, or do you feel like they actually are concerned that there might be a slight issue, given that the the situation in Oso that actually was predictable at the time and
right.
just nobody stood up and said anything?
We do feel like the city people who issued that statement were sincere in their beliefs, but when they spoke to the private geophysicist who had a better understanding of Nicholsville and what we were planning to do there, they did understand that. So the next step seems to be for the city to go ahead and find some land for us if they don't want us there, or go ahead and issue the permit.
All right. And obviously you're looking at something in the next 24, 48 hours.
Right.
Oh, yes. We thought we'd be moving today until we got that call Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. People are getting a little stressed and worried about, you know, when they need to go. I mean, they're already homeless.
Right.
And now, you know, the encampment where they've lived, some of them for a year, is facing this kind of uncertainty and insecurity.
So what has been the neighborhood response to news of your arrival?
To news of our arrival in the new area, correct? The International District has, of course, in the business area, there have been concerns. They want to make sure that we're going to still be a safe community. That because, as we mentioned, there have been people who have been killed there, people who have been murdered, people who have died, overdosed, jumped off of bridges. It's horrible. So they don't want it to get any worse, which I completely understand. But Pastor Steve Olson of Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd, who is one of our amazing advocates, has said anybody who doesn't believe that, or anybody who believes Nicholsville will make a community worse, doesn't understand how it works. With all due respect, the more of us that we have together, the more we can stay safe. We have 24/7 security. We are very serious about working with the Seattle Police Department. We've actually contacted them as well and stated that we love our relationship with them and want it to continue. So if having police protection increase there because we're there, we think that would be a great thing.
And I would say the reception and the reaction in the International District has been mixed. There have been some people who are very welcoming, at our, we had a community notification meeting, which we're actually not required to do under this permitting process.
Not at all.
And what we had maybe 20 people there from the International District, and some expressed a more open attitude. Mm-hmm. The people were there from the food bank and from there's an Asian referral center there too, and they were very welcoming. So it was kind of mixed.
Yes.
Some people are nervous and worried. Mm-hmm. We have found that before when we move into a neighborhood for the first time, people are kind of nervous. They don't know what to expect. I know, Leon, you were telling me about, say, the grocery store owner down the street from your site.
Yes.
And what he said.
Yes. There's several businesses around there, and in fact, all of them have said, we hate to see you guys leave. You know, when you came here, we were a little skeptic. We kept an eye on you, you know, but we've seen some good stuff, and they don't want us to leave now. So,
Pastor Steve has said the same thing. He said, you know, he would much prefer to have Nicholsville than a vacant lot next to his church because we take care of it.
Yeah, that the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd, actually, some of their congregants walked around the neighborhood and did a little survey of the neighbors and said, you know, what do you think of Nicholsville? And they were just astounded at the support.
Overwhelmingly positive, he said. They like having us there. He said the phrase that kept coming up over and over again was good neighbors.
So I was looking on Google Maps at your proposed site, and it doesn't really look like there's a lot close by there anyway. So I was a negative reaction to that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it looks like you're near like freeways and heavily traveled streets.
The closest thing to us is going to be Goodwill, I think, and they're pleased to have us. They're advocates. They support us.
Goodwill has supported an indoor homeless shelter from time to time, from another organization. Yeah, and they're very open. And, of course, they help people living in poverty in many ways. So there aren't any residences within any site that I can see.
Beyond the low housing or
low-income housing.
Low-income housing that's under construction.
Uh-huh. Right.
So
that's it.
So talk about, I know in the past you have taken a look at and made proposals to the city about other properties that are available throughout the city. Are those abundant? Or are they in short supply or what?
This problem does not result from a lack of property.
Not at all.
We have, on many instances, organized site search committees. We go out and find empty pieces of land, and a lot of that land was empty from the first year that Nicholsville was formed, 6 years ago. So there's plenty of land. There's land that's owned by the Seattle Department of Transportation. There's city-owned land. There's Sound Transit land. There's the Housing Authority land. So there's plenty of land. And the time has come to follow the recommendations of that crisis response statement from the Committee on Homelessness and let us stay on that land. I mean, we will leave when the land is needed. We would like a couple months' notice because it is hard to move. Especially to move those wooden structures and all that. So we would like some notice, but we'll move. We would even do, say, a six-month review, and that's what we're going to do on this property. So the land is there, and we just need it. They need to give us a chance to do that.
And I understand that there had been a previous commitment from Mayor Murray, and Leon, you were right there when that happened. Can you talk about that?
Yes, that was back in May. A group of us set up a meeting with the mayor, and personally I asked him, would he help us find some land? You know, there's a lot of land there, and would he help us find a piece? And at that time he said he was very concerned about the homeless population growing, and that he would get back in touch with us. And we haven't had no response since then, so I don't know where that went. We haven't heard from him since that.
All right. And how is how has the city and with a new mayor been towards this issue overall, towards homelessness? What's your impression so far?
One of the most recent issues of real change told how many encampments have been torn down during this administration. But when you look at the overall pattern of other administrations, it doesn't seem like maybe that it's worse. It's a relatively new administration, and we're hoping that he helps us in this instance.
And we did have a meeting with Pardon me, Peggy. We did have a meeting with the deputy mayor and a few other people as well, quite a few people. It went, I thought, very well. The deputy mayor, Hayok Kim, was very concerned, wants to make sure that, you know, we are taken care of and explore some options on, you know, what we can, what the city can do to help us out. That was on the 18th. And also to be able to use part of the road at the new property to where we can have safe parking. For drop-off of donations, new residents, and some of our residents do have a few cars. So it seemed to go very well.
Yes, and we also pointed out that in the previous administration there was a point person from the city.
Yes.
Who would answer questions and, you know, kind of oversee what was going on. So she asked someone to
Steve Walker?
Yes, I think his name is Steve Walker, and his assistant Leslie Price to be those people.
Oh, so is that for this administration or that was a previous
administration? This administration.
Okay, so there is a point person.
Yes, yes.
And have you all been in communication with that point person?
I don't think our staff person has heard from him recently. No.
Not as of yet.
Actually, he was just appointed just maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
So we haven't talked to him.
All right, so if you don't hear from the city in the next 24 hours, then you're forced to move to a temporary spot?
We're moving. We know that. We'll be having an internal meeting, and we'll decide, you know, exactly the particulars of what we'll do if we don't hear from the city. But
we have to go.
We have to go. And we're determined to stick together. It's a lot safer that way. We're not going to disband.
Not at all.
So, what are other cities doing? Just as a comparison, I mean, obviously we live here, but for instance, Portland and Oregon, I heard they have a good situation or a better situation there.
Yes, I actually read an article in the last week about Portland. There's in Portland, there's a city in New York. There are a couple of other ones where the city itself is paying to build not even small, simple, sturdy sleeping structures like we have, but actual tiny houses, small houses for people who are homeless, and they're making communities of the tiny houses so that homeless people can come and stay in them. And I think that is absolutely amazing, and I think Portland putting us to shame is kind of sad.
Yes, that's true, and those little structures are terrific. But Nicholsville is something called an interim survival mechanism.
Right.
And those little structures aren't going to pop up overnight.
No.
These people need somewhere to go. Exactly. On September 1st.
Right. That's a great long-term solution.
Yes,
but as for right now, we have to go.
And is that in Portland, you know, is that on city land or government-owned land?
I cannot recall what land it was on. I'm sorry. I have the article with me. I'll pass it along to you if you'd like to see it. But I can't recall. I'm sorry.
But still, that's I was very impressed when I saw the on your Facebook page, Peggy, the new wooden structures. As part of Nicholsville.
We've had those for a while. So organizations, whether they're religious or community organizations or even individuals, they contact us and get the specifications, and they supply the materials and build the structures, and Nickelodeons help them. So if people want to know more about Nicholsville, we have a Facebook group and we have a Facebook page, and those official sites are called Nicholsville Works. If people wanted to donate money, there's a number to call, 206-450-9136. That's our staff person's number. Or P.O. Box 2548, Seattle 98111. Like I said earlier, we're in debt. Our major expenses are the honey buckets, which we really have to have. Other than that, we operate on around $50,000 a year. Our staff person's never been paid, so we hope to someday be able to pay him. He's worked without a paycheck now for almost 6 years. But we do operate on a shoestring. It's, like I said, an interim survival mechanism.
So can people make online donations to?
Yes. We have a PayPal on our Nicholsville website.
Now, the I get their acronym wrong, really. The King County body that's supposed to end homelessness in 10 years, and we're in year nine.
Yes.
So that don't think they're going to make that goal. But that was the body that incorporated the language that you were talking about at the beginning.
That encampment should be supported with land and resources.
So can you, in addition to the mayor and deputy mayor any effort to approach that body for this emergency situation?
I don't know that any of them have been contacted. They meet quarterly.
Quarterly meetings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So in addition to financial contributions, then what other methods are, what other things are you looking for support?
For support, we can use time and resources. If anybody would like to come by and help us load a truck, we're not going to turn anyone away. We are doing that ourselves. But
there are a couple of other things specific to this site that we would love if someone just donated the use of them or operated them. We don't know a lot about this, but because of the slope, we've been told that we need a low buoy wrecker to pull these simple structures up on.
Yes.
And take them to this to the new site. So we have 12 of those. So we need trucks to move things. We have two shorter moving trucks to use for the weekend, and then we need a low buoy wrecker, we're told, because of the slope.
And also we need forklifts, all-terrain forklift preferably, to lift the structures and put them on trucks. And that's kind of a must.
Right.
That we got to have to come up with one of the all-terrain forklift at some point. So,
and then little things we can use, like hand sanitizer. Water is always a great thing. If people have bottled water, batteries, things, trash bags, duct tape.
Yes, we're going to leave a lot of trash bags for people to put their personal things in and to clean up.
Right.
Just simple things to a lot of people, but it means something to us.
It means a lot.
Yeah, hammers, nails.
Absolutely.
Set up on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And again, are these items that are listed on the Facebook page?
Yes, they're on the there probably is something on the Facebook page. I don't remember, but on the website.
NicholsvilleWorks.org.
All right. And the heavier equipment, that sounds like something that one doesn't pick up. Maybe they do pick up at your local tool rental shop.
That is right. That is right. That's correct. At our last move, though, there was individuals that their company or somebody they worked for or they knew owned some of this equipment, and they came and ran it themselves. They operated it, and it worked out. I think we ended up having to rent one, put us in a big hole. So we didn't have the money to rent it, but we had to do it. We have to get one. So.
All right. Well, it sounds... I mean, just the move alone sounds like a major endeavor.
It is.
Daunting.
Let alone dealing with paperwork and negotiating with the city of Seattle.
But it's amazing that it's happened as many times as it has, that a group of people with very little resources, with nothing but, the things they can carry around, can pull off something like this and be around for 6 years is a major accomplishment. It shows what you can do when you work together and have community support.
And you've been there for many of these years working on this issue, haven't you?
Yes. I've been there from the planning stages. Proud to be a part of it. I really am. Many people have moved on. It's giving them a safe, stable place to stay.
And that's actually a critical item that we mentioned it early on, but how many people at Nicholsville have jobs and are working, and this is a transition for them.
Absolutely. So, a guy just moved out who was a camp leader, Chuck.
Yes.
Lehigh has actually helped put many families into housing on the time that we've been there. They've helped put over 100 families in shelter or housing who came to Nicholsville. Some people didn't even stay overnight.
Right.
I ran into a man a couple of weeks ago downtown, and he cried. He said, "We've got a six-month-old baby, and we need a place to stay, and what about Nicholsville?" And I happened, just so lucky, I ran into him. I called him. I said, "Do you have a place?" And he went right over the next day. And Leon, they didn't stay the night, did they?
No, they came in and told us their story, and they were there about 3 hours, and we got them a place to stay. So.
All right. Well, with that, we are pretty much out of time. We're talking with Peggy Hotz, Heather Dobson, and Leon Davis. They're all with Nicholsville. And again, the website is NicholsvilleWorks, nicholsville.org.
Right. Absolutely.
And there's a Facebook page of the same name, Nicholsville Works.
Correct. All page right. and a group.
All right. And then the phone number you gave out earlier, what was that, 206-450-9136?
Yes.
All right. With that, we're out of time. I want to thank you all three for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you
so much.